I just came back from the salon, and for the record, I went with a sassy little bob and quiet luxury shade of blonde. Yes, that's literally what we're calling it, quiet luxury. Aside from trips to the salon, I don't actually blow out my hair. My hair is naturally wavy, and that's why I love Way. Way's new anti-frizz cream is a lightweight cream that provides immediate frizz control that lasts for up to 72 hours. I know that I have a limited amount of time with wet, wavy hair in which to get myself in order. And that is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It has notes of bergamot, Italian lemon, violet, and more. And it smells unbelievable. Truly, as someone who is a little bit sensitive to scents, I put this in my hair and I feel great. It also genuinely pairs well with my perfume, which I appreciate. I don't blow out my hair because after years of color processing and attempting to make it straight, I know it looks better and stays healthier when I avoid blow drying, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. I've used products, especially with wavy hair, where it feels heavy and looks kind of wet. And that's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream, because it enhances the natural waves in my hair. I still look like me, just a little elevated. And P.S., I am way obsessed with Way's other bestsellers. Their leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, my personal favorite. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com with promo code Andy. Conversations around wellness and weight loss can be complicated. There's the Instagram filter we all see on IG and social media, and then IRL. And between $20 smoothies and daily ice baths, everyone is doing the most to hack the health system. But there's a better way. Row. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. And you can sign up from the comfort of your own home. No scheduling a doctor's appointment, commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. The Row Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Of course, medication must be paired with diet and exercise modifications in order to achieve any stated results. Medication cost is not included in the program. Patients must pay for medication separately. With Row, average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/andysgirls. You can sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/andysgirls. Sign up today.
When husband hunting, if at first you don't succeed, dust yourself off and try Tom.
When life hands you lemons, squeeze them into Kelly Dodd's evil eyes. At the exact moment.
Hi, guys.
Guys, it's Andy's Girls.
Hello.
Oh, my God, guys.
Hello, hello.
We're killing it already. What
you
a
are...
thrill.
A sight for sore eyes, guys.
Oh my God, it's just been like a hot second, like several hundreds of years since we have had the pleasure of each other's company.
Yeah,
it's
we've been
crazy.
Yeah, well, we took a week where we interviewed Jill Zarin, so we weren't talking about current episodes.
That's right. It feels like it's been a while.
Because we didn't have that week, and then the shows were
stupid
off.
Stupid Olympics. What
I mean,
the
I was into
that?
Them. I was into them.
Were you into them? I was into...
Oh yeah, 100%.
I was into, like, some of them.
I love
I was
the
into
Olympics.
Swimming.
I love swimming. I love gymnastics. Yeah, I like track a little bit, but then I'm now on board.
Do you like vandalizing bathrooms in Rio? Because I heard
oh,
that
my gosh. I don't want to even talk about it.
So timely. Gold medal.
He's really messing with his...
Yeah? Is that how you say his phrase?
I don't... know.
It's J-E-A-H. I have no idea how to pronounce it.
It's like, it's Gia.
What does that mean? Yeah?
Yeah, it's yeah. Anyway, oh this God. Is... I don't so know why interesting. I locked
well,
in.
We are so thrilled to be back for episode...
19. I think episode 19. Wow. I mean, I have
time
to say,
flies.
We're at the penultimate episode of Real Housewives of New York season, which means that we've been almost doing Randy's Girl for a full season of a Housewives franchise.
Oh my God. Look at us and our many accomplishments.
We have a special guest with us today. Should we introduce?
Yeah, we should. Her? Should we? Should we introduce her and then cheers?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, love it.
So our guest is a super funny writer, just a great writer, a very funny person, also happens to be my college best friend. She wrote the new season of Transparent starting. She wrote the penultimate episode of that season, so episode 9. And she has some other exciting things coming up.
Transparent, straight from Amazon TV. That's what it's on, right? It's
yeah,
on
Amazon Prime.
And LA. Guys, she flew from LA to New York City just to be on our podcast because we don't know how to do Skype and other technological things.
So, yes, our guest, Stephanie Kornick.
Thank you, guys. I'm really excited to be here.
Oh, my God. Such a thrill. Yes, so good to have you.
She's Steffi537 on AOL Instant Messenger.
Oh, my AIM. Is that still a thing?
Check me out.
Yeah, definitely. My away message is up right now because I'm here. So we're so excited to have you, Steph. I know we talked a little bit about, you know, Steph was prepping as you were coming here. And she said, I've listened before in the past. It sounds like you guys just kind of ramble and talk. And I was like, great, so you'll be...
What you're saying is you're an Annie's Girl super fan.
I am.
Thank you so
I mean,
much.
And I was like, yeah, I was like, that's what
so
we're going to do.
So I listen to our podcast more than you have. But that's cool. Totally no problem.
I'm a fan of you guys in real life.
Thank you so much.
We're thrilled to have you.
We are so thrilled to have you.
What I love about Stephanie, too, you can't see her.
Oh, cheers.
Oh, yeah, cheers. Yeah, what is this called?
Cheers.
You can't call it
Kelly
that.
Kelly Dodd is a cunt. Yay, cheers. That's what we're saying. She's great. No, I love her. She's a special. I'm only using her words.
I was gonna say about Stephanie is like I love that Stephanie's. You can't see her, but she sort of has this like LA like
my chill
stoner thing going on.
You are super true. Chill.
But that she's like not an undercover. She's not ashamed of her Bravo fan stuff. But that you wouldn't maybe expect it.
Wait, do Californians not watch Bravo?
No, they do.
No, I just meant that, like...
Do they not talk about it? They're, like, very busy juicing.
I just meant that Steph's vibe was, like, cooler than Housewives, but she's not cool.
I don't think there's a such thing.
Thank you.
I love Housewives, and I love Bravo, and I love Andy's Girls, and I love Sarah Gallietti and Lino.
Oh, my God. So into it.
So, I appreciate it. Like, I just think we have a lot to talk about, because there were sort of big explosions in every episode this week.
That's what it was. It felt like they understood that they were on hiatus for a week, and so they gave us...
Yeah, they were very strategic in their programming.
As a TV writer, they were very structured episodes, I feel like. They all led to these, like, climaxes.
Yeah, I agree.
No editing.
They, their programming team was really on top of, like, oh, here's how the episodes need to roll out if we're taking a week off.
The only thing, when we're talking about, like, programming and scheduling, the only thing that sort of drove me insane was that we had really, really, like, key, important, I would even say historic moments happening all this week in all three Housewives franchises, and not to have Watch What Happens Live.
Oh.
I thought that was, like, crazy. And then I got a little conspiracy theorist out of it and was like, is there a reason that, like, Bethany is doing certain things and they, like, aren't airing Watch What Happens Live so she doesn't have to, like, answer? Or, like,
I think
you know, it's
honor
the
Olympics.
It
wasn't personal.
No, because they had Watch What Happens Live the week that the Olympics were on.
Yes,
Watch What Happens Live was on.
Watch What Happens Live. And then now it's like, now he's going on vacation. I mean, Andy did have our big daddy, our baby daddy, did have Watch What Happens Live with Teresa and Sonia.
That's what I was
going
to say, which I felt like was
good. That felt good.
Sonia, man. I mean, I know that we're gonna do a dip into Jersey, but Sonia was like, I was watching that app of Watch What Happens, and she just is like so good, so on top of it. I feel like very like her vag rejuvenation has like affected her brain. Like I'm just really
I felt good about her on Watch What Happens. I mean, I feel better. I think that she's had an interesting arc in the season of New York.
I really admire how she handled. I'm dipping in already.
Yeah, please
handle the. Okay, guys, I'm really bad. I'm making eye contact with the speaker. I'm really bad at names. So that will be a game.
Okay.
That
it's
will
gonna
happen.
Be like a fun quiz for us to like try to decipher quickly.
But I know it all, just not names, and that's true to life too. So if you see me in the
that
world,
could be your what would your tagline be? I know it all, just not names.
I'm yeah, that's it.
No, wait, what would your tagline be if you had a tagline?
I think that was pretty close.
We're just gonna stare at you. Into it. Turn. Turn.
I know I met you last time. That was a Louisa Francis.
Oh my god, that was really something. I was waiting for it, and then I was like, oh yeah, okay. Into it. That was great.
But to go back to how the Tom situation, how Sonia... that's his name, right, Tom?
Yeah. Tom D'Agostino.
How she handled that emotionally, I feel like, I mean, that was really emotionally mature. I don't feel like if that had happened to Ramona, it would have been a whole other situation.
That's very true, actually.
Well, it really did sort of happen to Ramona.
Well, yeah, Ramona, it was different, though.
With him, but
it felt like it happened to her.
Ramona also cried, and I don't know, I only know what she said and what he said and what everybody says, but, like, I feel like that situation was a thing that, like, wasn't a... Like, I feel like Ramona made that
Ramona
more of a thing.
Yes. I think that they were dating in a way that if you were a little bit
older... I
think
they went on dates.
They went on dates.
They
were, like, social. They, like, would go to dinner. Maybe he would kiss her. Maybe he would kiss her on the cheek. And it was like, I'll see you again. And they were taking it, like, very,
but it was, like, a handful of dates.
Do you believe that he drew a heart and their initials on her leg?
Oh, yeah. I 100% do. Because I think that was so specific.
Yeah.
And I don't think Ramona's good enough to, like, lie.
I agree with that.
Ramona's many things. She
creative.
Can be cruel. She can be, like, but very, like, instinctively, like, an animal. And I think that... She doesn't lie. She might be off base.
She said that, too.
She might
goes, there's
she
one thing
lie.
About me, I
she
don't
doesn't.
Lie.
She doesn't. I really don't think she does. I think she's regretful of some of the nasty things she says, but she doesn't lie. She gets emotional.
So, okay, well, so we're here on New York. Let's just dive into New York, then. Like, I think that this week was... I was kind of dreading watching it because I knew it was coming, and it just... I mean, it was hard for me to watch. It was sad.
It was super hard for me to watch. And
okay,
I was
it was hard to watch. Did you
I felt like the Bethany Luann moment of Bethany telling Luann that she had information about Tom was just like,
Bethany played it. She has a very good sense of the story. To tell it. She really, it was a slow burn.
And I think she's been doing that a lot this season and like manipulating what she thinks she knows how to do as far as like producing TV.
Yeah.
But it was very hard to watch as a viewer to watch like Luann know it was coming and just be like, what?
Well, she said something Bethany said something that kind of stuck with me. So I have a Bethany, you know, because Bethany at one point said Zero Fox, and then she made it into an apparel line. So I bought the sweatshirt. So I have a Zero Fox sweatshirt. And there was something that I've been back to that website before, except since she's, like, turned and become just different this season, I haven't, like, purchased anything else. But she said something this week, which was, you know, I know it all. What she has said before has made into a line of, like, notepads. And like clothing and accessories and mugs and whatever. And she used that phrase in reference to gloating about the fact that she thought Luann and Tom were rushing and then got these photos from whoever. And so her reasoning was, isn't this it? Even though she didn't say that, it felt like the way she was looking at the camera and how she was explaining things to other people. And then the look in her eyes when she started to tell Luann, and it was like, there was a moment where I started thinking she is gloating a little bit about the fact that she thinks she was right in regarding the relationship, that either he wasn't the right guy or they were rushing or it was fake or it was a mirage. And she literally used the phrase, I know it all, which I know that she's been pushing for her company. And I just felt really creeped out by the idea that, like, she's a part of her is happy about this happening because she thinks that it proves that she was right.
I think,
which is
you're right.
Exactly, super inappropriate, unnecessary. I had a real issue with the fact that she was telling Luann on camera. Like, I know that it's a reality show and blah, blah, you want to show real life, but I think she made a real effort for someone who's legally not allowed to talk about her ex-husband, not allowed to show her child, has been very secretive about people that she's dated until very, very recently, if you follow the Daily Mail, still is, like, kind of fucking with people. For her to make that choice but be so deceptive about what's going on in her life, I thought was really shitty, and I thought she was doing it in a way where she didn't really give a shit about Luann's feelings. I just felt like it crossed a line. I think she could have done it in a way where they had some sort of moment and there was a way that she could have still addressed it on the show, but I just felt like it was so awful.
I agree.
And she was gloating about it. Felt like she was happy about it. And I'm a Bethany super fan, and something is happening. She's changed. Maybe she broke as a part of the divorce, or maybe she's embraced the fact that she's a broken person and always has been. But it's been really upsetting, and I was embarrassed for her and upset about about the manner in which she addressed it, because I don't believe for a second that she 100% is like, I'm doing this because I'm a great friend, even though we're not actually friends and we're not even really acquaintances. We're genuinely frenemies.
I think that I totally agree with you. I think Bethany, like, lives to be right, and I think a lot of those women do. I think Ramona does too, loves to be right. I think Bethany loves to be the expert, and that's just part of her persona, like you said.
She loves to be an expert.
But I'm going to say something crazy.
Okay, I'm into it.
I think that she did. I think Luann wanted this story to I think Luann, this is going to be a drama on some level for Luann. She's going to get the attention that she always wanted.
What? No.
I do think she's on some level. I think there's a part of Luann she's like genuinely sad, upset. All that is true. But I do think there's a little part of her ego that's living, because she's going to become a star. The tension's on her. She's going to be, you get sympathy, you get empathy, you get so much attention when something like this happens. She's the victim. Who does, like,
she was going to get the attention anyway, because she's the bride.
But I think she's negative or positive attention. Attention's attention.
Oh my God, I 100% disagree. What is this weird place you saw right her, now? I'm disagreeing and agreeing with Luann.
You saw her on that boat, was singing her, they were singing her song.
And she was so happy.
Yeah, I think that, though, she just, like, wants to be looked at and seen. She wants eyes on her. And even if it means, like, I do think, I just think she lives for the drama, so I don't think she did. There's no world in which Bethany would have said that in private.
She would have broken down and been that. No, that was a genuine moment where Luann was like, tell me it's not about Tom, where she was so vulnerable in front of someone that she absolutely does not want to be vulnerable and real with, and Bethany forced it and was like, it is about Tom.
But I think in that moment, you're right, it was raw, it was real, it was honest, but then I think when she was shampooing her hair in the hotel bathroom, there's a little smirk of like, I'm the story.
What?
I mean, there's a little part of her that feels good. And I think we all know what that part is because we all have it inside of us. Oh, negative attention sometimes feels just as good as positive attention.
Damien, speak.
I feel like I think this Bethany is despicable. And I thought that, like, she said, I didn't want to have this information. Someone dropped it in my lap. And it's like, I mean, you know, alternatively, on lots of reality shows, things happen when someone actually doesn't say something, and then, like, the following season, someone like a Kelly Dodd joins the show and is like, your fiancé was cheating on you when you were with him, like, and I sent the pictures to Bethany and she never said anything, like, something like that. Like, Bethany could have kept that information to herself. She really could have. She didn't need to tell
anything. She also made a choice not to go straight to Lou,
right,
but to share it with Ramona, who she knows is going to flip
tell
out
Sonya.
And love it.
Exactly.
Tell Sonya. She told fucking Carol.
So I took a lot of issue with the way it was done, because I felt like, I feel like Bethany has kept everything in her real life off limits. I think that she had a huge reaction to Sonya also making her storyline about, like, fucking tipsy girl, and, like, how that was such a betrayal, but then that 6 episodes later, Bethany's telling someone that their fiancé cheated on them, like, a Tabosha story, but, like, Bethany hasn't revealed anything about herself while she's, like, watching these other people flounder. So I took a lot of issue with that. I thought that there was a real emotion between them, between Luann. When Luann walked out and told production to stop filming her, I didn't think it was real.
Really?
I thought that.
Oh my God! I always believe it when they say to stop filming.
They never want them to stop.
I think that, like, there are moments when I think that, like, when people, like, I thought that when, what's her name, Leanne in Dallas pushed the cameras away, that was her first season, and it was her reacting to, she didn't want to have a fight with her real friend, Tiffany, and she was like, and Tiffany, and she was like, Leanne was like, you've baited me, and that was all real.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like Luann's reaction was so, like, casual, it was like, stop filming me, was like, you should just feel like that that's what she's supposed to say, because this is huge news. I don't agree that she is pleased to find this information out.
But that moment you just said is what exactly what made me feel like when she was like, stop filming me. I was like, oh, she's
her. I think that maybe it wasn't a surprise. I don't think it was a surprise to her. And I think that the, you know I don't want to like speculate too much about the coming attraction because I feel like
sometimes. Yeah, I think we don't know.
But like, you know, there's that moment where Bethany is like pushing it and Luann's like, enough. And she's like, and Bethany's like, I guess I'll never tell you again. And Bethany's Luann's like, great. Yeah. And it's like, that to me is of the umbilical cord back to Bethany on the bed being a manipulative. That, like, Bethany's mad that she didn't get Luann to call the wedding off. And, like, you know what I mean? Luann's like, fuck you. I'm still going to marry him because I love him. And I have been a champion of Luann and Tom the whole time. Like, I don't know that it's healthy. I don't know that he's not sleazy. I don't know that...
He couldn't be sleazier.
But I don't... I think she loves him.
And I feel like they're using each other for different reasons.
I think she loves him. I think she loves him. So, like, the fact that Bethany's, like, mad that Luann doesn't, like, react the way she wants, it makes me happy because it makes me, like, I want Bethany to let herself be a part of a reality show or to stop trying to control things because she's coming across to be insufferable. And, like, it's like, who thought that Luann would be low man on the totem pole and everyone would feel for her? I mean, at least I feel for
her. Those women are so intimidated by Bethany. That's what's kind of... they are really all a little bit scared of her, it feels like.
I think because they know how much control she has.
But I think that, like, they have to realize that that's...
But there's more of them than there's
to me, that's not creating interesting television anymore when it's like Carol is like the second in command. It's like Carol's so boring and it's like Carol's, by proxy, the second most powerful in that cast because... why? Because they're cool and, like,
they're cool.
And that's... they're
Bethany,
not to me.
And like, Bethany reprimanding her for being late, I thought was, like, 20% real, 80% them saying, like, we should, like... not that they literally said this, but I think it was them sensing that, like, they need to have a little bit of a separation.
Well, Carol said that when they were when she was with the other ladies.
She was too clicky, and I was like, I don't know if they was women or the producers. I mean, I thought it was crazy when she got understandably upset at Carol for being an hour and a half late to wherever the fuck they were. And then when Dorinda plans this whole thing at that super cheesy sandbar, which I would be 100% into going with Dorinda, and then Bethany goes with fucking Ramona to Bagatelle, I'm like, who are you to tell that?
That's so insulting also.
I think I could go to drinks with Dorinda and have a really great time until she orders her third or fourth martini, and then I would lose my mind.
And then Damien would come pick her up.
I love when she has subtitles.
Damien would swoop in. Dorinda would have no idea that we are not the same person. It would, like, continue her sentences. The fact that she had subtitles was, like, phenomenal. I was with Dorinda. I was, like, on board with Dorinda. I think Dorinda... to some extent, is, like, saving this. Because I think
she's
just interesting. Dorinda's, like, a genuinely interesting
person.
She's,
like, everyone's
I take issue a little bit. Okay, so here's a couple. I have a lot of thoughts. My brain.
Tell me everything.
I don't think that Carol and Bethany are actually that close of friends. I think that Carol saw Bethany as...
did you like the Carol hot dog
moment? They were assets.
Yeah, I think that Carol thought that Bethany was the opportunity, like, the place, like...
I think they also mutually respect each other.
I think that they both mutually respected that they thought that they were less crazy than the rest of the world.
Yes, 100%.
That's what, 100%. I mean, if that's mutual respect, I think they're cooler and more downtown than the rest of the world.
Yeah, 100%.
So, if that's your respect. So, then they, like, aligned themselves because Heather was gone and Kristen was gone and they decided that they were, like, a thing. I'm really fascinated to see what happens because, like, I don't know how they can escape being... called Mean Girls because all they've done is, like, really manipulated production and been kind of cruel, but also revealed no flaws or conflict in their own lives. I mean, Carol's revealed nothing about her and Adam.
I don't think Carol has anything. I think Carol is just that vapid, for better or worse. I don't think she has anything going on in her life. I think that, like, there was something about her going on, like, Hollywood Medium or whatever and talking about the plane crash. I mean, it's like, she has one story.
That guy is great.
The plug for Hollywood Medium.
I just gave a look. Okay, yeah.
I watched it on Today Show. I was into it.
I like something a little spiritual.
That's the California there. Yeah. Fun, interesting. Okay. Yeah, I think that she has, like, she's, like, a one-note singer. Like, she can hit that one note. Carol? Which is, like, yeah, which is John. And I guess now the vegan chef. And that's pretty much it. Like, she's just, like, you know, she'll have a good quip, and she'll write a great blog, well, and that's it.
There's no conflict
and
with her,
the
though.
Way the rest of the season has played out is
unless
also...
Unless you have one leg.
The way the rest of the season has played out and how it's so very heavily Luann-focused is why when I look back now at, like, all the Dorinda and John stuff and all the Sonya and Tipsy Girl, it makes me even more mad that, like, Bethany froze Sonya out for a lot of episodes about Tipsy Girl. But,
yeah,
like, not,
and I was on Bethany's side.
But she has yet to reveal anything about herself. Like, Bethany is the cause of a lot of conflict. And like you said, Stephanie, like, a lot of the women are intimidated by her. Yet none of this, she is just calling John out, calling Tipsy Girl out, calling Luann's relationship out.
She's a powerhouse. Not only because she's quick-witted, she's smart, she's the only one who's legitimately a real
businesswoman. I mean, she's rich. I mean, she's richer than anybody.
And she's savvy, more so than any of those women.
She's savvy, but there's an element where there are other things that have happened in her life that are... that have been failures. Her talk show was an enormous failure.
But it was.
Her
you're
marriage
saying it's a
was
failure.
An enormous
it wasn't
failure.
A failure. It was on the air. It wasn't a failure.
It went to air, yeah, but it was.
That's a different level
awful.
Of failure.
Right. She's right. failing.
Up
she's
here.
Failing
she's
up.
In another echelon.
She's failing up
I mean, it's like Nene. It's like Nene's show getting canceled. It's like, that's still up. That's still
oh
an up
God,
compared to.
No, there's no comparison to her success in several different fields. Versus everybody else. Like, she didn't need to rely on a bullshit song that was, like, funny and campy. Like, she has gotten opportunities that she's created for herself, and that's amazing. But on the flip side, there have been areas that could expose vulnerability. The fact that that show was fucking reviled and it was awful. I tried desperate. You know, I die for her. Or died or something. There's going to be a show about. Like, I really, like, was super into her. That show was unwatchable. The fact that she filed for primary custody against Jason, which I think was a huge, horrific move that she then had to probably eat financially, even though we don't know the terms of their financial settlement. But that they were married for two
Why
or three years
it was
and then
horrific?
Didn't know.
Because you think he's nice.
Because it didn't make any sense. She was at that point in production for a talk show.
Oh, she's
and she
time.
Wanted. Well, it was the fact that their marriage might not have been good, but I think both of them are. Probably pretty decent parents.
I'm surprised
much more
so
damage than he has because she crazy. Wanted it all. I mean, there were rumors that she just wanted to have a baby so desperately. She saw this guy, thought I'll make it work, got pregnant quickly through whatever means,
Wait,
and
so
then
you
got
think
married.
That happened. You think that Bethany didn't love Jason, but you think Luann loved Tom?
I think she. No, I don't think Luann and Tom. I don't think that Luann and Tom are a real thing.
I do.
I think that
Luann loves
Tom. Jason
okay.
fell in love in like a beautiful, romantic, happy way, but didn't know each other. And Bethany is inherently a broken person. Bethany is like legit inherently a broken person. She came from a really shitty. She came from a really shitty childhood, and those scars were exposed. And I think the way that she behaved with the shit that she had her publicist leak or whatever during the divorce and during the custody battle and whatever, I think it was grotesque and I think it was gross. And I think that's why she came back on the show, because she knew that her business was hurting or her rep was hurting or her Q rating or however you want to call it was falling down a little bit of a hole. And she's like, I need to go back to the source of my success.
But she didn't need to do that for her business. She did it for her level of fame.
I think she needed to do it a little bit for her business, because her business, while it's not called the Bethany brand, was created because she is the original skinny girl. And I think that because she had had these failures and bad press moments, she knew that the best way to energize her brand, especially after selling it for so many years, but wanting to make sure it remained successful, was returning to the show. Absolutely. And allegedly, she originally picked, well, I don't even think it's allegedly, I think it's been proven true that they've both been open about it. Bethany wanted to pitch another spinoff, but about her after the divorce, even though Jason won't allow their kid to be on camera, understandably. So she had pitched a spinoff to Andy about, you know, like, this is my new life now, like, single woman, finding myself, like, working, blah, blah, blah. And he wasn't into it and was like, why don't you come back to the Housewives? So I think that she had a master plan of, I'm going to come back to the Housewives, I'm going to kill it again, and then I'll do another spinoff. And I don't think that's going to work out, because I think that she has fallen out of favor with a lot of people. Now, there are Bethany diehards. Like, I think I was really holding on to it for a while. And now I'm really, like, a woman without an island, because I don't know how to feel. But it's not even that I'm easily swayed. It's just that I'm open to like watching this stuff, and if something goes wrong, I'll say it. And it's just been really upsetting.
I've also noticed, and I'll be interested to see how the reunion plays out again, but I think that like there's been a lot of like eye rolls from some people towards Dorinda, specifically Carol in one of her blog posts that you made me read, where she talks about like Dorinda like Dorinda basically telling everybody else when Carol or Bethany have talked about them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Carol's sort of like, that's what the show is about. We talk about people when they're not around.
Right.
Which I get. But, like, also, Dorinda's... So Carol's right. You're on a reality show. When you leave the room, we talk about you because that's how we continue story.
Yeah.
However, Dorinda's also doing what you do on a reality show, which is let people know what people are saying as to continue the story.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm going to be interested to see how the reunion plays out because I feel like everyone's going to say that Bethany and Carol are mean, and like, I think that they're going to say that Dorinda was a shit stirrer, which is, like, I think they're going to... I think it's all true, but I think that, like, I want to see how... Like, what the defense is for Bethany's behavior this season, because I don't think it's been...
I think Bethany is going to own it and apologize.
No. No, it'll never
happen.
Really? Lost faith in your girl!
It's not that I lost faith. She will never do it. And I've been following her Twitter, and she was, like, live-tweeting a little bit when this app aired. She will never do it. She owns it.
What did she say?
She's saying that she was essentially real, just like the Berkshires thing. She says she wasn't slut-shaming. She was just
that
calling
was
someone on their... It was.
Wait,
she
what
was
happened
calling
again
someone,
in the...
She called Luann...
A slut. And
oh,
a
yeah.
Over
yeah.
Like,
well, right when I met Bethany this season, like Bethany 2.0 or whatever this is,
yeah,
I was like, oh, she got dark. Like, she's been burned. She got some shit. I didn't watch the talk show, but I expected us to be like, oh, here comes the voice of reason with a sassy
right.
mouth.
No.
And she's in pain and girlfriend's suffering.
She's suffering and she has no interest in owning up to it. She does not think she did anything wrong. She will go to the grave because, frankly, who's going to, like, hold her to it? Who does she respect enough to sit her down and say, you misbehaved? Nobody. She's
well,
at a point financially where she
doesn't need watching
it. Her friends
so.
Are her assistants. She yeah. bleeds, but nobody really gives a shit because she's, like, throws down a copay. Like, there's, you know, like, it's a dollar bill. I mean, it's like,
this is not
there's
recording.
Nobody.
I was just checking.
There's nobody.
There's
nobody to hold her face to the fire. I mean, it's just like, she doesn't have anybody that she respects enough or that she trusts enough.
I think I was giving her more credit because, you know, you watch it. Well, I don't read tweets or whatever that is, but you think you watch it and you go on the reunion and you've reflected on it. And it's always interesting to me to see the women who realize, oh, and that's probably from the social media being like, you're a cunt or whatever. But, like, it's interesting to me to see, like, who is, like, oh, I'm better than that person. That was a shitty version of me.
But it seems
and I'm going to own
Bethany
up.
Will never, I say this as someone that has followed her since day one, like everywhere, like randomly will YouTube Bethany Frankel interviews, like, you know, sometimes just a little. She will never feel like she'll apologize sort of for certain things, but she doesn't genuinely think that she's wrong about this. And there's, I guess, no reason for her to. I guess we're rewarding bad behavior. It just makes me sad because, I mean, we talked about this with Jill Zarin a little bit, where it's like, we were talking about what the beginning of the show was like, and one of the best highlighted, best parts of the show was the relationship between Jill and Bethany. And it was unfair to sort of say, but it was true that was like the best, that was like a highlight for the show as far as women supporting each other or seemingly supporting each other and having a true friendship and a bond. And I don't think that could ever happen on the show now because it's just a much different beast. But so is Bethany. And so I think that the viewers need to come to terms with the fact that, like, this is not the person that exists now is not the person that we fell in love with. She's transitioned. She's become a great businesswoman. I get it. Like, props, mazel. I have 4 of her bottles in my fridge. But it's at what cost? Because the way that she's behaving, I find sort of repugnant. I mean, I just, I can't get into it. And I love her. I just want to see the Bethany that I fell in love with. And I just don't think that person exists.
She's in there. She's just not ready.
I don't think she is. The second that she and Jason got divorced, I was like, this is the beginning of the end, honestly, because she thinks that she's like, felt like she was getting away with it or something. It's just not... Well, the person that I see on screen right now has funny moments, and I do remember us talking, me saying, like, the bee is back. And I guess maybe we could circle back to that again, but I don't think I want to watch it. I don't know if I want to see her on the show anymore. Like, maybe I do want her to have a spinoff. I'm really struggling with this, guys. I'm, like, really struggling because I love her, and we've screamed about her before, but I just really don't have any respect for what she's doing, and that's really upsetting to me because that's my number one. You look like it's Christmas morning.
No, I'm not. No, not at all. I just, you're like, you are, you love her so much.
I love her, and really... can you see the fight from within? Yeah. As I look for a Prosecco-soaked raspberry.
I don't love anybody that much, and I don't hate anybody that much. So it's interesting to, like, I feel like I watch you deal with, struggle with your relationship.
I'm really having a struggle in my imaginary relationship with my best friend, B.
I think that it's everyone's choice when you're watching the show to choose to see yourself. Or to not.
Yeah, I guess I just assume that people want to be the best version of themselves because I think
she does.
Be the best version of myself in my life.
She does, but she.
I don't think she does.
She's still defending it.
I don't think she gives a shit. I think she's so focused and confident on, I'm so great in business, I must
but
be that great in my personal
her,
life.
That's the best version of herself, is the business version.
This version sucks.
Yeah. But I think she. I think. You're right. She lost herself in the business, finding her
also,
business
can
side.
You imagine being that alone and being that successful at the same time? It seems like it would be a very lonely path for her. Like, who does she have? She has two friends in Florida that she went to boarding school with that she circles out. That woman, Terry, who we saw, I don't remember if we saw her this season. We saw her a couple seasons ago, and then the blonde woman that we saw at Bagatelle. And then, who does she
I
have?
I bet you, though, she has a lot. There are... A lot of women of her level, a lot of successful women
of
her level. Who are,
I mean, it's a small world.
No, but I mean that we don't see that are single. A lot of women at that level who are single because I guess I'm speaking about LA, but in LA, the men at that level, at that age range, and they're taken. The women are the ones, I can't even tell you the amount of women I know who are single, high level, making a lot of money, successful businesswomen.
Do they
who
have
are
friends?
Single, who have friends. And I think she probably does have friends, we don't see her, but I don't know.
I don't think she does. I think she's like a lonely, broken person.
I think you're right.
I don't want this to be like an episode of Real Housewives of New York and be all about Bethany, so
you're
I'm
right,
going to suggest we move on to some other repugnant behavior, which would be Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Can we start with Teresa?
Yeah, for sure. Okay. We can talk about with whatever. I thought that the Jersey episode was sort of like whatever until that final showdown between Teresa and Jacqueline.
Yeah.
What did you think?
I agree. And I also think that we started talking about this earlier, but we stopped so we could save it for the program.
We always say save it.
This is the second time I'm saying another version of this, because I just said it with Bethany, but I don't know what this says about myself, but I felt that with Teresa, when she came out of prison, we would see some reflection. You go to fucking prison, even though it's camp, but it's not a prison.
Touching s'mores.
You think that you would have you are away from your whole, everything you love for a year. I mean, you think there'd be a little bit of ownership, but she spent that entire time, we saw this, she spent the entire time thinking
stewing.
About who did what, how it's everyone's fault, how she was not to blame, and then we saw it play out, and I think, what's her name in the last scene?
Dolores, Siggy, Jacqueline.
Jacqueline.
I think Jacqueline knew it. She knew Teresa didn't change, and she knew that she knew she's going to call her out and see. It was a test.
Yeah.
So she forgave.
I do think that was a test. I think that Jacqueline is so desperate to be, or has been in the past, so desperate to have her friendship back with Teresa that she will ignore things and hope for the best.
Mm-hmm.
Jacqueline, at her heart, is hopefully eternally an optimist and thinks the best of people and gets so upset and so distraught and offended when it turns out that they are either broken people or not as good as she wants them to be. And I think that their fight in Jacqueline's kitchen was Jacqueline realizing, like, a light bulb went off and she's like, you know what, this is not going to be the friend that I need her to be for our friendship. Like, they have different ideas of what friendship should be. Jacqueline wants to have a friend where she can call, she can have fun, she can have giggles, which she even had with Danielle Staub at the beginning. Like, she wants to have, at some point, a superficial friendship, but she also wants to be able to say to that person, don't fuck with me, like, why did you do this thing, and have an actual
conversation.
Honest
friendship.
And Teresa wants to have mob loyalty, where you never bring up things like going to camp or whatever unless she is driving.
She belongs
that
train. On Mobbites.
Yeah, she totally genuinely belongs on Mobbites. Where you take a blood oath, which is probably she how she was raised and what she married into, where you don't ask any questions about where the money's coming, you don't ask any questions about the bodies in the van. You just love each other, you support each other, and you do it. And that is what Teresa considers a quote-unquote real friend, which is what
that's
she talks about.
Loyalty.
Which is someone that just says, I agree with you, I trust you, I understand you, whatever. And that's why when Teresa, when Jacqueline's saying to her, like, you had these interviews in magazines where you're talking about these things, I want to have that same conversation with you, and Teresa's response is like, suck a dick. Yeah. I mean, like, Teresa's response is like, well, those were interviews or whatever. You should just trust me. My real friends don't ask questions. That's the fissure.
I think she said my real friends knew it wasn't true. Or they knew, like...
Or they just know not to have that conversation. Teresa wants to talk about yoga now. Mm-hmm. She wants to talk about her kids.
And, like, weird lesbian sex. I can't.
I never talked about this before, but, like, I was so offended when she talked about how, like, women having sex smelled like fish. That's offensive to women. Guys, she's not a bright person.
Neither is her husband. That's not news.
I know that, but I guess, like, you know, like Steph said, like, I didn't expect her really to come out of prison changed. But
I expected a little bit of a change. I bought into the yoga bullshit where she's like doing downward dog. I thought she was gonna be a little more mature. She was presenting herself very
just a
well.
Dollop, like just a dollop. I guess you know what she is. She let give me the name in the rock climbing scene.
Siggy.
Yeah, she asked her that question, and she remember, and she was not. Old Teresa, she was a little bit different, a little more mature about it. She didn't get to, but that's all we can get from Teresa. It's just shards of glass.
I think, okay, so I do not, Teresa's the one housewife I find I have the most issue with. Like, she's the hardest.
Really? Of all of them?
I feel like I have a lot of trouble getting, like, having, like, sympathy or empathy for
Teresa.
That I get.
Dead behind the eyes?
Yeah, I think she's dead behind the eyes. I don't think she's bright, and I don't think that she, like, understands why people have issue with her, because I do agree, like, she believes in, like, blood oath loyalty to friends without answering any questions. Like, so I have a lot of issues with her because I don't think she has self-aware, and I don't think that... Anyway, I think
but
that
that's
you
could, why she's bitchy.
It's not even that she's not self-aware, it's that she just refuses to be self-aware. I think that a part of her understands that, like, you might have to take a little bit of pain in order, like, to cleanse thy soul, and she just refuses to do it.
I don't know. But I will say, just, I don't know who I'm playing devil's advocate with, but, like, I think that Jacqueline and Teresa's friendship has been over for a long time, and I think that that attempt for that conversation, like, I think Teresa was dreading it because she knew that, and I think Jacqueline is using it as her way to get back on the show. Was it like she had this piece of a friendship?
Sorry.
Oh my god! This is the first time ever.
You can record it.
We will.
Yeah, we're gonna keep going.
But I just don't have a bladder for this.
Yeah, this is from LA. do they pee a lot there?
Stephanie's peeing.
She left the door open, which I appreciate.
So I will finish my thought, which is that, like, I just
Timmy Subin.
I think that.
Sorry, Damon. Continue.
I think that Jacqueline's.
Continue.
Sarah's stressed because she doesn't know how to edit.
No, we're keeping this.
I don't think this is shocking, but, like, I think that Jacqueline's whole attempt at, like, having this conversation. Hold on, the toilet's flushing.
Guys, do you wash your hands?
Yeah, I did a little quick one.
Okay, great.
Jacqueline's attempt at having this conversation with Teresa just is totally fueled by her need to be on reality television and, like, getting these checks. But, like, isn't fueled by her wanting to have... And I think she felt like she could trap Teresa in this if, like you said, Teresa didn't pass the test, which she probably had a good idea that she wouldn't.
Yeah.
She knows Teresa well enough.
I do believe she was genuinely testing. Like, she would have been happy... But she wasn't surprised.
And once
she saw the crack, she was like...
She's bitterly angry about it. And I think Teresa trying to deflect her guilty verdict by saying, well, you guys went through it too. And Jacqueline responding and being very quick and being like, yeah, that wasn't criminal
our financial
tax fraud. It was like corporate
just filing for bankruptcy. And, then it was done. Because
and then Joe rolled out with his wine barrel.
Joe and Chris Manzo, I could have watched 45 minutes of them just
Chris
shooting.
Chris Manzo's a doll.
Yeah, he's a doll.
Are you attracted to Chris Manzo?
I'm not, though.
No one.
It's just me and Jack.
Who are you, of all the house husbands, who are you most attracted
to?
Not on Jersey.
Who would you
dumb on
Jersey.
Wait,
of all, every franchise, who would you have sex with? Who would you marry?
I love this game.
I'll give you some of the attractive people if you need refreshing.
Or some of Sarah's choices.
Are we on Jersey or
any franchise. Who would you sleep with?
Jersey, none, because I really...
Joe Gorga.
Just one.
I like a little funny and a little smart.
David Bedore.
So you would fuck...
Okay, who's funny?
Apollo.
Apollo's sexy, so that actually throws all the rules out the window. And he's, like, bad.
Okay, so you would sleep with Apollo. Who would you marry?
Mauricio.
No. I mean, I'm trying to... I think you would like Michael from... You would like Jules' husband, Michael, in New York.
Oh, no!
A meatball? A sweaty, cheating meatball?
No.
I mean, I was into her a very extended period of time.
Are there any of them that are
funny? No one's
funny. No, because... Why would they be?
Bobby? Saren?
I don't
know. No, he's older. Grandpa. Okay.
Heather's husband is smart.
No,
but
Terry
DeBrow. Terry's smart, but he's annoying.
He was.
I actually feel like I would
Terry
DeBrow
would Terry DeBrow would rather have sex with himself than anyone.
Yeah,
else.
You're so.
Can
I love when he was
off
like,
by watching
he
Butch,
was like, I don't.
Honestly.
I'm not with my. I haven't been spending time with my kids, and I kind of like it.
Yeah,
that was like,
it's
done.
It's
that was real.
I can't think of a single funny husband.
And it's funny because the men aren't so great, right?
Maybe none would you marry Greg Leakes? He would be a great. He's a great wife.
Oh yeah, Greg Leakes. He can hang.
He doesn't. No, Mary. I'm not saying shtup, but
yeah,
I'm saying like Mary. Greg Leakes.
He's funny.
Yeah,
you know.
He's
like a good support system. Actually, you know who would love Greg Leakes is Vicky Gumbelson, because Vicky Gumbelson needs a wife, and Greg Leakes is a great
wife.
She needs somebody who's.
She just needs someone to travel with and have sex with.
Don't you think that that's also what Bethany is seeking? I think it is a little bit.
An assistant or a.
Like, I think she's looking for someone
she married someone who didn't have a thriving career who was there,
but he
held her up to.
She needs I think Bethany needs somebody who's like. That they feel like she's out of their league and that they'll deal with her narcissism and her like high maintenance isms, who can like and who maybe she provides more for, but that they offer that support and that they will deal with it. Like, I think that Greg offers a lot of that to Nene in that like she's super high maintenance and like the alpha, but I think that he deals with it and that's why that they work together.
And he also gets her. I think he intrinsically gets her. I don't know.
I'm trying to think at what other
there aren't a lot of them left, to be honest.
No, you're right.
So many of them got divorced.
Them.
We said no to David Bedore. Oh my god.
Yeah.
I think he's dreamy.
He is so fucking attractive. Can you imagine? Oh my, I bet he like knows what to do.
Oh my god, Sarah.
Does the preview for Ozzy for next week where he surprises her with a party and then he looks at her and he's like almost crying? I was so fucking attracted to him in that moment. Oh my god, David! But I'm like stroking my hair, guys.
What about Kelly Dodd's husband? Are you attracted to him?
Oh yeah, Michael Dodd. No, are you kidding? I would rather die. That's like that's the hell now.
You know
it's
what?
Just,
I think I would have taken Heather
DeBrow's
husband.
Yeah.
Not Heather DeBrow. I mean,
Heather Thompson.
I would have taken her.
Oh
husband.
Yeah, he's totally your type.
Yeah.
Shorter and like confident, and
he had a
just
personality.
Quiet,
yeah, remember he bought her caviar.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I loved that.
Yeah, he was really.
I need a little bit of something.
He's so sweet. You know what? Heather Thompson's husband is just genuinely. He seems like a really sweet guy.
Yeah, he does.
I would be so happy to be with that.
Wait,
Michael
so
Thompson.
Jules is getting a divorce? Is that true?
Jules is getting a divorce, and since we last recorded, called the cops to her rental. Apartment again filed an emergency restraining order, and he says it's all bullshit and that the truth will come out, and allegedly he's planning to file for primary custody.
That's never gonna happen.
The guy
based
who
on the
can't feed his kids and change their diapers, which must be the mistress saying, must be the other woman saying like, we'll take care of him.
Is that
so
he was having an affair?
He was having an affair,
and she knew the mistress allegedly.
Well, allegedly, in something I read, the mistress was their therapist, or maybe is a therapist, But I read that it was maybe a therapist working with them or something who is also going through a divorce. Is
the therapist?
That's something that I read, but I like don't 100% believe it, but she definitely did know the mistress because that came up when she went on What Happens with Dorinda. And
small circles on the Upper East Side.
It was not, and the weird thing is the other woman like looks like Jules, which I guess doesn't matter if you're like wanting to get out of your marriage. It doesn't really matter if they like look like, it's just the most important thing is that it's not the wife that I married, but it's not great. What do you think about Jules? Do you think Jules should be back next season?
I like Jules. I'm into her now by this. I just like,
she'll be interesting next season.
She'll be interesting in divorce.
I'm also like, I was interested in her like battle versus, like her battle of her stuff being so real and serious versus like Bethany Carroll using it as a point. Like, I just like, I was into that. I took her side by the end of that, which I thought I was like, I just felt stupid and young. Like, I didn't think she belonged on the show with the other women, but by the end of it, I was like won over by her goofiness and the fact that like,
and she exposed her marriage,
and that she came on the show and exposed her eating disorder and her marriage.
Yeah.
And again, it's like some people are exposing nothing, so I appreciate that she's bringing stuff to the table.
I feel kind of bad for her because I feel like both she and Dorinda have had to really sacrifice their personal lives and have made that commitment to like be quote unquote real, and the OGs are just like skating along a little bit.
Luann
is exposing herself. I mean, Luann's, that's the most vulnerable thing to say.
Yeah, but she's
love.
Not doing it by choice. No, Luann's version of love is not vulnerable. Luann's version of love is a show. Luann's version of love is a little bit of a circus.
So it is a choice.
It's not a choice to be vulnerable. It's just a choice to openly communicate, I'm in love, I'm in love, and I'm in love. I mean, that takes zero sacrifice, honestly. I don't think she...
But if you're saying you're in love with someone and you know there's a shady part of them, there's a risk.
She doesn't know that, or she's not communicating it. She's not being vulnerable.
Well, there's
How could that not be part of it if you're bringing them on the show?
You haven't known each other that long.
I thought she was going to do such a good job of producing their fairy tale romance. That was going to be all that they did and nothing else. I genuinely think that.
Or producing their romance / seeing what happens with the romance.
Right, I agree.
No matter what their story there for her.
Totally.
So
I think
way,
that she was like,
really?
Yeah.
She's not a dum-dum.
I don't think
she's dumb.
I think sure she was hoping that it would be like a wedding special.
She wanted to be positive.
Oh, yeah. I'm betting that they'll film it. I don't know. Maybe they'll film it for Housewives. I don't think they'll get a spinoff because I don't think that Tom D'Agostino would be open for them filming and talking about what has come up.
And I also don't know that, like, honest. Yeah, I don't know that anyone loves any of the New York Housewives enough right now for them to have a spinoff.
I mean, I could get into Sonia just not drinking, living her best life right now.
Sonia is the most zen out of any of them, I feel like. With Bethany, the whole thing that happened with Tom, I just feel like she's like, and she's kind of hot mess, but she like kind of knows it. She's always owned
that stuff, which I appreciate.
She can't own her business stuff. She's literally the opposite. She's like the opposite of Bethany in that. She's like, here's my mess of a life, but you know. I don't know.
Yeah, but she's very closed off about business. That's a really good point. I haven't actually thought about that.
So, any thoughts about Jersey beyond, like, the Jack and Teresa thing?
I love Siggy. I
feel like the longer I watch this show, though, I, like, feel like Siggy really doesn't fit in with the group. Like they haven't had an outing with all the women yet, and we're at episode 3 or 4
at this point. They'll have a trip.
They will. No, I just mean, like, they all haven't gone to lunch or gone to, like, there hasn't been an event yet where all the women have been there.
Melissa had her boutique open birthday party, or Dolores's like cheetah leopard print thing that Siggy put together.
Were they all there? I can't even remember.
Yeah, and that's when Teresa was talking about lady sex in jail.
Why did she say that stuff? It was so uncomfortable. Like, it's so weird.
She thinks that's owning it, not owning it. Not like when she was on Watch What Happens Live and Andy was like, "Did you pay everything?" And she was like, "Yeah," but like couldn't speak. I actually think she still doesn't know what's going on. I believe it.
Is why they staged that thing of Joe looking at a bill and Teresa coming over and being like, "Oh yeah, I'll call them." Like, someone just told her to say the word John Hancock. Just say it 5 times a day and you'll be fine. So every time she's like, "John Hancock," like, put my name on. It's like, no, boo-boo. Like, it felt so forced where
You know, I didn't notice that. I can call if you don't want me to call the insurance or whatever. And they're, like, looking at the bill together to show that they're unified. So if they ever commit a crime again, they'll definitely do it as a duo. I mean, it was, that was a lot. Although I do sort of
love, I love when she threatened him about cheating. When she was like, you know, it was like...
Again, that felt like they were saying it for the show because he probably is cheating or has already.
Well, or they know that we all saw
the winery.
My bitch of a
wife. Oh my god, where he was like talking and fucking Italian. Yeah. And she knew that something was up, so she's like, let's have sex with each other next to the crate.
And it was so sad that someone wrote that scene and was like, let's write a scene about this.
Guys, I know that Juicy Joe is the worst, but in those moments where he was like playing with his kids, I felt for him a little bit. I thought it was adorable. Where he was like chasing Melania or whatever. I thought it was sweet. I could see him as a dad. Really? I'm the only one?
He had to. I mean, he fucked up. He had to be a dad.
Well, no, he also knows that, like, he's, like, due to report soon. So I thought he wanted to... He was having, like, a maternal or paternal moment with his little one.
I think he didn't... He literally didn't have a choice.
Because... Why? Because
who else is going to be with the kids?
I know, but you don't think he just had, like, a sweet little, like, family moment?
I think it was... I do think he did because he had to. And then he surprised himself and had a sweet, lovely moment. But I think... He's not used to being a dad. He did not enjoy it. I think he'd rather be in prison than with his kids for
a year.
Well,
I think he's
more manageable.
I think he probably, you know, was exhausted at the end of that. Yeah. Because they don't have nannies or whatever. Yeah. But I think he, like, stepped up to the plate while Tree was away. He had to.
Yeah, it's not like step up, like, that's his job. Those are his kids. They're half his, half hers. I feel like he'd rather be in prison and let her take over the next
year.
Well,
now he's there.
Yeah.
So, God bless for a couple years.
A lot of
he lost weight.
I have another prediction.
What?
I think while he's in prison, she will find herself.
What? A man?
Find herself a little bit, an inch more Teresa, and get a little more confidence, meaning realize she is fine without him.
See, because that's what people have said, or maybe that's what, like, Jacqueline, I remember someone being really shady.
Everyone has been saying that.
Yeah, that's why she had the conversation with him about
this. Well, that's what Caroline Manzo said several years ago, Caroline Manzo, before they got their sentences, when everyone was expecting Joe to go to jail but not Tree, Caroline Manzo said she thought that Tree would come out with a book saying... About while Joe was away, and then talk about
how she's got to
become a woman. And
I think
then
now
that
is when
file.
It will happen. Like it'll. I think. I mean, it's a matter of how much she lets how she feels while he's away and she's all on her own. I think she might feel really independent and good about herself, and people being in her ear. Like she knows he fucking cheated. She knows like. And she also feels dependent on him, and she loves him. So, like,
and
what
now she
will
realizes
win?
She's the breadwinner.
Yeah,
they
she
have
is
to
the
do
breadwinner.
So legally. She is the breadwinner, 100%.
And he's in prison, so, like, or camp. But I feel like, I don't know. We'll see what happens. It'll be interesting.
Guys, we have the OC on in the background the whole time.
And the OC is done.
Over, so we didn't even get to rewatch the dinner scene. We need to discuss the OC dinner scene. Because it was shocking. Thoughts. Okay, so the ladies meet, it's like supposed to be Megan's like last hurrah because she's gonna
without having a baby in her belly, which I was like, that's a dumb reason, but okay, I'm into it.
It's a bizarre party, but
it was like they were fishing. I mean
so whoever
the name of the episode?
Something Fishy, I think was the name of it.
It's because they go out for her sushi.
Yeah.
So ever or maybe they have lesbian sex according to Teresa. I just have a lot of thoughts about it. So like Kelly Dodd is mad because she found out that Nina said that she sucked dick
to pay bills, which is separate from being a prostitute. Sorry, I just had to say it.
Well, I mean,
do you want to explain?
I don't know. Why do you feel so strongly?
I think sucking dick to pay the bills is marriage. I mean, like, not. I'm not being literal. You're the only one that's married. You're happily married. I think that's phenomenal.
I suck dick to pay the bills.
I don't think that. But I think that, like, that's for many women who do not have their own careers, who are married to wealthy men. I have seen those women in their lives who have, like, allowances that their husbands give them of money that the husbands have. Women just, you know, like, they are support systems for their husbands. There's a sexual component.
It's
obviously
an agreement.
You're married. It's an agreement. This is the role that I am here to play. Mm-hmm. And I think that is exactly Kelly's role with her horrific nightmare of a husband. I know Kelly keeps saying that she's, like, a millionaire or whatever. No. And I listened to a podcast interview that she was on that was horrific, where she was, like, going into all this shit. And it's just, that Kelly's role to be married to Michael, they have some sort of agreement financially, and yeah, a little bit of it is, yeah, you're gonna, you know.
And that's also,
go
that's
down
a lot
to get
of,
up.
That's also like a lot of celebrity marriages, because it's just easier, not necessarily sex, but another agreement, whatever it is, you have an agreement, an arrangement, an
exchange. There's a role that you pay, and it's play,
that's not
and
love
it's so
based,
unfortunate. Of course it's not love-based. She's not in love with her husband now. I think she was for a hot second early in their relationship, and I just think that that is the role that she has. And by the way, Nina was not being literal at Shannon's party and saying she is a prostitute for hire.
Is
she
Nina the wife
sassy.
Of the doctor?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So Nina was being sassy and making a sarcastic joke, which Kelly took literally, and I find it concerning that Kelly Dodd is literal about insults, except for the ones that she assigns to other people.
Interesting.
So she'll go over and over and over again about, how dare you, my daughter's going to be so upset when she finds out
that
this one woman joked about her. And it's like, meanwhile, you're calling Shannon Bedore on camera a cunt. Like, what? Why do you think that your behavior is fine because you were upset, but that rule does not apply to other
people? Okay, I don't agree with Kelly in anything, really, but, like, I think that there is something to be said for, like, this is her first season. This was the moment that she realized that her daughter is going to watch a show, or eventually will be able to watch a show. And do you disagree?
Yeah, I think she needs to look at how she behaves.
Right, but, okay, no, that's not what I'm saying.
Saying that, like, this is why your husband cheated on you, Shannon Bedore.
But that's not what I'm saying is, this is the first time she's been able to think, my daughter is going to be able to watch this show one day, and someone will imply that I suck her father's dick, and that's why we're together. And because
that's what triggered her.
And, yes, and I think, like,
because it's true.
Sure. I'm not saying it's true or not true. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, I think it's important to, like, talk about why they react. Like, that's why she reacted the way she did. And, like, I don't think she's wrong. I think that anyone would break under that pressure. I don't think it excuses her behavior prior, but I also think, like, that was a real honest moment that, like, she got wasted at a party because she was like, stop saying this. It's not true. My daughter's going to see this. And, like, I felt for her in that moment because it was like, yeah, your daughter is going to see this, and she is going to, and people are going to say that her mom sucks dick. Why are you looking at me like that?
Because I feel for her 2%, and 98% of me is like, you have gone out of your way to be a monster to people. You say that you're perfect on camera. We all know, according to Radar Online, that she's had people filed court documents against her, like, accusing her of harassment.
I mean, I'm just...
She's a fucking nut job, and yet she is only, because she's so fucking crazy, she's focusing on some dumb comment that, fine, she might be upset about, but she's not really taking accountability. The only reason at the
but
end
they're
of the
all nut jobs.
But they're all nut jobs.
But I think she is especially...
You think more so than
yes, she annoys the shit out of
why
me.
You think,
because
why?
She responds only out of emotion. She has no reasoning. Genuinely, I think she's a purely instinctual,
but you know, it's
animal.
Her first season,
right?
So
which is
no. But I don't think this is. Here's the thing.
No, there's
I don't
no
think
way
this
to separate
about,
that.
Wait. I don't think this is about this being her first season and her first opportunity, like, being on camera or whatever. I think this is Kelly Dodd as a person. One of our listeners told me to listen to a podcast interview that she gave, and I listened to the whole thing, and I wanted to fucking die by the end of it. There was a moment where there was she was engaged to that guy whose name I think is Jeff while she was still married, okay? I'm not even, like, we're not, that's fine, live your life. After she broke up with, or he dumped her with the fiancé, she started texting his 12-year-old son, shit about your parents suck, they should go fuck themselves, tell them not to call
me
ever
again. She said this in the interview?
She said this, according to all the documents, and agrees that she said stuff to the 12-year-old, okay? So the 12-year-old's mother took her to court to say, you should not be corresponding with my child. Kelly is gloating on this podcast interview from, like, a week ago, saying, like, but I had a better lawyer, so I won, ha ha ha. And the podcast interviewer says to her, she's like, but you do understand that, like, you shouldn't be texting a 12-year-old. You shouldn't be texting a 12-year-old insults about his parents, but you shouldn't be texting a 12-year-old boy at all who's in 7th grade. She goes, yeah, but he was really mature. She doesn't understand anything. She, like, she's not a human person. I think she's a really awful, fucked up, rabid dog. I really do. I don't think that there's anything decent about her. I genuinely don't. I think she is only emotion
mostly anger.
Lots of people react
out
of emotion, though.
Sure, but she doesn't in a way where there's no, there's listen, no real
I can't believe I'm defending Kelly Dodd here, but I just feel like I'm not excusing behavior, but she's still human, and the fact that someone said she sucked, let me finish my thought, that she sucks her husband's dick. And her daughter's going to see that is a place to you're she's allowed to react to that also. Right. You're right. She's allowed to be like people are allowed to say Tamara's allowed to say you called Shannon a cunt and she's allowed to and that's true. Like you called someone a name, people are allowed to say things about you 100%. But like that that emotion is like real because like it's a real thing. Like she's
right.
Her first
but she's going to do this over and over and over again where there might be 2%, 5%, 20%, 86% where she has a reason to be upset, where someone, it's TV, it's reality TV, it's The Housewives, someone is going to do something to fuck with her, okay? But the way that she responds is so overblown and outside of this universe and just completely
but that's
at another
why she's
point.
That's
right,
yes. Yeah.
But
she's
that's why
raw.
She's making me, my toes curl when I watch her on TV because I'm like, calling Shannon a cunt because you're upset about something
but
that someone else said. And you're not saying about that about anyone else except for Tamara for a second.
But that
and
was
Heather
her Dubrow button.
After she's ever...
In
and
that
she
moment
will,
she pushed...
She will
she
always
that.
Have a button.
I, you
to
might
say my
right.
child is going to be ashamed of me. Her child will be ashamed of her for the rest of their lives. Like, there's no other... There's no way to, like, get around the fact that, yeah, her kid...
I just think
her
that...
Her kid should... Might be embarrassed by stuff that she should say. But if I was Kelly Dodd, which I'm not... I would say to myself, thanks so much. I would say to myself, well, what behavior can I do to make my child proud of me? Instead of, I'm going to become this, like, hate demon forever. Because I.
Well, you can say that now because you're not in it.
Right.
I'm not in it, but I also.
She's
think
in
her,
it. She's
I
in
get it,
it
but she but goes like, to a bad place. Can
yeah,
you imagine?
She's in a dark place.
You're upset about someone maybe hiding someone's bag, mm-hmm. whatever. And then you turn to someone knowing that there are cameras around. If we're going to talk about children being upset by their parents' behavior, you're going to look at Shannon Bedore and say something along the lines of, I'm going to fuck up the semantics, but something along the lines of, like, no wonder he cheated on
yes,
you.
Yes, but also Shannon Bedore's been on the show for 3 seasons, and they talked about the affair on television, so that's not a surprise
I
for
know,
her
but
kid.
She cuts deep. She doesn't have a barrier.
I just think that there...
She doesn't
she
have
is,
a barometer.
She is also human, and I think, like...
I need to see the... Show me the receipts of her
I, just,
human,
I just think that, like...
I see her
I think,
being a robot.
I think it is easy to dismiss someone as being,
I
like,
think she,
the Satan when you...
And there's so
they're
many
in
other,
the mix.
A lot of them are way more robots than her. She's emoting. That's the most human thing you can be. Is that,
I think she
that's
is,
true.
Like, all... Wait, guys. How does psychology work? Is she all ego or id or whatever?
She's ego.
She's all ego and nothing else, and that is driving me fucking insane because she can't have accountability because she doesn't get it.
She's
so that's why after she'll go to Tamara and be like, I'm so sorry, and she'll go to Shannon and like touch her and be like, oh, I'm sorry, and Tamara, because I know you're
but that's the human part of her trying.
I don't think it was
it might be lame,
I don't think she can accept anything. I'm gonna die over Kelly Dodd. I really
if
she drives me fucking crazy. I think she is a horrible human being and made a great choice in marrying someone who's also a horrible human being.
I like the huff besides your
it's
very
like,
so if I can just pivot this conversation a little bit, it's still on Kelly Dodd and OC, but like I think her, I do agree with you when you say that she's like, I think you said she's unwell. I'm going to say that I think she's unwell in a different way than some of than a lot
I
of other
people. I think everyone in her entire family is unwell.
But I don't think it's like...
Remember
I'm,
what's her face on
Daniel
New York?
Staub?
No, on New York who was a model, who Bethany would poke her because she was dumb.
Guys,
come on.
Kristen
Tatum?
Yeah, brunette.
No, she,
no brunette. No. She had kids and she goes, do you do... Oh my gosh.
Oh, Kelly Benson.
Kelly, yeah.
Yes, Kelly Benson.
Scary Island?
She was off.
Oh my
a
god!
Bit.
Oh my
same,
god!
You know
Kelly
I mean?
Dodd
it's...
might be the Kelly Killoran.
But I think the Kelly Killoran Dodd, Ben Simone was a little more like knew how
new
to dress up in like sheep's clothing.
Yeah,
like,
I agree
that,
with that.
I think she was passable
right.
more. Like Kelly
yeah.
Dodd, I don't think like I think well, maybe what is like
but
if, what is charming
you
about
see
her?
Someone during a raw a moment of.
Totally.
They're both
I think, like, maybe what is charismatic about Kelly Dodd, if she is and when she is, is that she is, like, bombastic and sort of, like, this. But I think that then the bad side of it is that she's the same. She's still at a 10. But I hear, okay, so here's the point I think is really interesting about all of this. This fight escalates to crazy levels. Heather Dubrow can't handle the emotion.
That's the best.
And she leaves. I actually think that if Kelly Dodd if they try to bring Kelly Dodd back, this is, and I'm saying this without knowing how the rest of the season pans out. I think if they try to bring Kelly Dodd back next season, the other women, they don't want to be on this show because they feel like they're on Love and Hip Hop. Like, they don't want to fight, and they feel like, Heather Dubrow, a friend of mine at work was... My friend of mine at work reenacted the whole scene before I had even seen it, and she was like, these, like, older white women can't handle this emotion and this, like, these tempers, and they are shutting it down.
Yeah, Kelly gets red-faced.
Did you take a picture of me in my
I took
V-neck?
A picture of you, because I don't understand Snapchat, so I was going to put it on Snapchat, but I don't think I did it properly. You're going to teach me after.
But, like, I think that these other, like, Heather and Shannon, and maybe even Megan, I don't know what Vicky's doing, maybe she'll agree by the end of the season, like, I don't think they're going to be okay with coming back on board for another season.
But does that happen so they all can stay together?
I'm sure that it happens when they argue contracts, like, that they say, like, I'm not going, but I don't know. Well, I don't know the reality.
Bethany has done that on camera about Sonia. I mean, like, there are moments.
She said, I won't go back if Sonia's
No, but they've, she's, like, intimated that, like, I won't go on trips, or Kara won't go on trips if, like, lose there. Like, they've tried to, like,
That's them playing around. That's like them talking about things.
That's them trying to be EPs.
They don't and realize I think that that's true. This is their moment.
I was watching this with my roommate when it aired, and we both started screaming, and I was like, oh my God, Dubrow is back. Because the Heather Dubrow who's talking about fucking hexagonal ice, looking at her house,
yeah, she's
million
been the
house.
Carol Radswell of the season.
She has been
so
the
far.
Carol Radswell of the season. I was like done with it. I was over it. I just wanted to move on from it. I don't want to hear about it again. And then when she came to life and was like, this is unacceptable, which by the way, if you want to see how I would respond and how I have responded to those, not as crazy as Kelly Dodd, but moments where there is strife, just watch this week's OC because that is exactly verbatim how I would have responded, which is, the way you are behaving is unacceptable. Leave. I don't care if it's my party or it isn't.
Have you had that experience?
100%.
Yes, but sometimes people react like emotionally.
It hasn't always reacted well. And sometimes that anger and crazy turns on me, which it did with Heather once Kelly realized that she could make fun of her.
What happened was unacceptable?
Oh, there have been stories. We've talked about some of this stuff. There have been stories.
Who is Heather and who are you to tell people their behavior is unacceptable?
I am a human person who also happens to be on a TV show looking at someone berating and being cruel and mean to one of my friends, and I need to say
it was not out of protectiveness. There was 100% she felt like it was embarrassing. It had nothing with her to do with defending Shannon or Tara.
I think it was a little. I think it was that she understood that it was a crazy situation that should not have happened.
She felt like she was being vulgar and embarrassing.
I agree with that.
To stop a situation by judging it as unacceptable, don't you think you're perpetuating it because you're judging
yes.
it?
And I can tell you from experience dating somebody who argues with you and says, I'll let you have your moment. There's nothing more moist to want to have a domestic fight and punch someone in the throat than when someone says, like, I'll let you have your moment, or, like, this is unacceptable. There's nothing more...
You just want to be like, fuck you.
To someone who is reactionary, there's nothing more than I want to say, great, like, let's never talk again.
When you want to be ugly, and you want
to
be ugly.
That's real emotion, to me, that tells me that that person isn't... And I'm not saying this is about you, but, like, to me, like, I think Heather Dubrow was so buttoned up. Like, I'm not defending Kelly Dodd's behavior.
No, I agree.
I'm just saying that she's
Heather
a human
being. Heather
was
mortified, because you're right, it got...
She wasn't defending her friendship, Heather Dubrow's not a goddess, because she was like, don't say this about Shannon and Tamara. Heather Dubrow was like, don't do this at dinner. This is super embarrassing.
No, I think Heather Dubrow was standing up for moral
decency. What about...
She said to shut the fuck up. She said the way you're behaving is completely inappropriate.
That's gross to me to tell to someone.
Oh my God.
Now I'm judging you, but we're all sharing
on the top of the Sunday, which has happened to me, I cannot tell you, so many times in my life, is when Heather gets in the limo and she is so upset and so angry, not like sad, genuinely seething anger, and because she's a very different duck than Kelly Dodd, calls her husband and bursts into tears, which some people said was fake. I was like, that is 1,000% true, and how I react when
she bursts into tears
because she was so angry about how Kelly behaved, and the only way she
made
react
her
was
look.
Be fine, whatever. I mean, I can't. I have to put that aside. Her only response was to cry, which is 100%. If
why?
You see me crying.
Why are you
being
so sad?
I'm not sad.
Why are you so angry?
Because you want to react the way she is back at her, but you're not.
Yes,
you're too good. Because you're too good of a person.
But you're
not.
You're
a good person. She's crying on TV now.
She is you. She is me.
She is
all of us.
So she is true.
terrific.
That is. I'm not trying to steer this too much, but I think that's a great way to end because, like, it is true. And, like, I feel like it is true in that that you are Heather, and clearly Stephanie and I both feel, I don't identify at all with Kelly Dodd. I think she seems.
I think you do a little.
But we identify
I identify with people being reactionary, and I don't like when people tell me not to be that way.
And I identify Kelly just as much as I identify with Heather. To me, I understand there's a part of me that's like, yeah, that's fucking gross and unacceptable and, like, and it's disgusting and I'm mortified. And then there's a part of me that's like, I want to rage! Let me rage!
But you don't. But if you rage, fine. But Kelly's version of raging. Kelly's version of raging is like a little bit I'm upset because, but it's mostly so let me attack other people. It's all
it's unhealthy.
It's all offense.
But
it's
defense. Like, but also like yes, totally. I mean, no one's arguing that it's healthy. We're just saying that it's human.
You are trying to humanize Kelly Dodd, and I appreciate it because allegedly she is a human person. But I really don't.
I also
but there's a reason it gets under your skin so much
because she's a cunt. I'm sorry. I use that word now and again.
But that's,
if someone ever said that to me at a Japanese restaurant,
that's unacceptable to me. I'm leaving the podcast. You said cunt. That's unacceptable to me.
I would be like, I understand. I appreciate things. Like, let's talk about it more.
But it's gross.
I would never.
I'm leaving. I would cry and call my husband. Here's the difference. Doesn't that make you want to yell? Like,
here's the difference.
Upset?
Here's the difference. If you called Damien a cunt right now, we had a cunt off, and you called Damien a cunt, I would be like, and you weren't doing it to be sassy. You were doing it to hurt Damien. I would be like, that's actually unacceptable.
And then what?
And then that's it. Damien was upset.
All you did.
If Damien laughed it off, okay? If Damien laughed it off, I'd be like, okay, we're fine.
But Damien cried.
But if Damien was upset, and I know that you have said other things. You said that Damien's husband cheated on him.
Yeah.
You've said that Damien's husband
was a pedophile. Yeah, this is dinner. I called him a cunt and he was upset.
I would say it's enough because it's not one moment, it's several. And this is, you need to understand that your behavior is unacceptable. Please leave. Yeah.
So do you think you solved our relationship and the problem?
That's not my responsibility. My responsibility is to speak up for the other people in the room who are deeply uncomfortable.
You literally just added to it. Because now, with the next episode, we will address
this.
I don't want to just keep defending Kelly Dodd because I don't think she's.
You don't want to, and yet you continue to.
Only because.
You guys, can the podcast go for 24 hours?
I think that, like, we also, like, Stephanie, you brought up a really salient point, which is, like, she's in it. Like, Kelly's going through it. And this is also her first season, so she's not like Luann or Bethany, where she's accustomed to how to produce her life. So Kelly is in it and she's dealing with these things and, like,
she's not branded.
We're better than this, and then people sign up for reality TV and they pull up everything and they find the person that didn't like you who will give you dirt about you too. And I know that, like, and that's what happens. And so, like, everybody reacts different under pressure, and I feel like I have a lot of choice words for, like, the way she behaved, but I also feel like it got to her. Like, that's when she said my daughter's, like, going to hear that, the moment I was like, oh, she's talking about the show.
Yeah.
She's talking about the show within the show, because it got to her. This is her first moment of exploding and realizing that, like, this is all going to be on television. It doesn't excuse her behavior, but, like, I felt like it was a humanizing moment because she was really hurt, and her reaction to being hurt was to yell, and Heather Dubrow's reaction to being uncomfortable was to, like, dismiss people. So, like, everybody reacts differently, and it's gross, I guess, but, like,
think that Heather Dubrow, because she's a mature human being, will ultimately realize if she said something out of turn, she'll apologize.
Because that's how you would react, right?
No, that's how a human person...
You.
No.
That's how you would react.
No, I'm saying a human person. Kelly Dodd is not mature or self... I don't know. She's just not...
I mean, she has apologized for things in the past.
But she doesn't really mean it. She's like, I'm sorry for the little thing where she'll, like, touch Tamara and avoid Shannon and be like, yeah, I'm sorry. And then she'll, like, sort of kowtow, but then not. I mean, she does the same shit, different day. Same shit, different episode.
I know you, to bring it full circle, I know I said you would have drinks with Dorinda and have a lovely time. I'd love to have you room with Kelly and have drinks, and you hit it off and come back and say,
that
is a
would
human.
Never happen.
Yes,
she
would.
Would, like,
you
make
would.
Fun of my eyes or something.
You talked to Brandi
enough.
Glanville on the phone and got along.
Brandi Glanville, one of my new favorite people.
See?
That will never. Brandi Glanville, I can have a conversation with Kelly Dodd.
You don't know.
Maybe
yet.
A shooting range. I mean, I don't know. Maybe she becomes a target. I mean, like,
I was writing notes to myself while I was watching it because I like needed to write down my feelings, and I was like, if only her parents had watched The Price is Right and had seen Bob Barker talk about spaying and neutering your like found animals, maybe Kelly Dodd could have been saved. I mean, like, it was just like not. I hate her.
You meant that they shouldn't have had her.
I mean, maybe. Like, maybe that was one of the
On that note, I just got a lot more intense, and I never thought I would be a Kelly Dodd apologist.
Here's one thing I will say about Kelly Dodd. I hate her. I hate everything about her. I probably will eventually hate her daughter. I really enjoy her house.
Oh, yeah, her house is nice. Her house is nice, guys. I'm into her mom looking
like... I think you're more connected to Kelly than you even realize.
No, that will never...
Kelly likes her house, too, and that's why she's...
I like Stephanie bringing her new age ways.
Kelly Dodd likes sucking her husband's dick for fun, for shits and giggles.
No judgment on that.
Guys, such a pleasure. No judgment.
Because Stephanie P. Dury, of course.
You guys, such a pleasure. Our longest episode. I hope you enjoy
it. Thank you for having
me. I don't think I did. I think you're going to have a great
time. We'll never get here.
Guys, next week, more craziness. Cheers. Bye.
Bye.